Okay, so picture this. You take your dog to the vet. You trust this person completely.
Of course. They're the expert.
Exactly. They've got the white coat, the diplomas on the wall.
Yes.
And, you know, you love your dog, so when the vet points to a bag of that expensive scientific-looking food, you buy it. You don't even question it.
It feels like the responsible thing to do. It's a scene that plays out thousands of times a day.
Right. But what if that whole transaction was part of a massive organized fraud, and the person in the white coat was, maybe unknowingly, a partner in crime in a system that's actually designed to make your pet sick?
It's a really confronting idea. I mean, fraud and crime aren't words you typically connect with your local vet.
Confronting is putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Today we are diving deep into a book called Spin Doctors, Junk Pet Food Partners in Crime by Dr. Tom Lonsdale. And this thing, it reads like a thriller. We're talking a whistleblower vet, huge corporations, media censorship.
And what he calls a veterinary junk pet food industrial complex. It's a really fascinating collection of documents. Lonsdale has basically compiled a decade's worth of his newsletters from 2001 to 2011, so it tracks his whole campaign.
And his main argument is just, it's explosive.
It is. He's saying that the very people we trust vets have aligned with giant corporations like Mars, Nestle, and Colgate to push food that's biologically wrong for our pets.
Partners in crime.
Yeah.
He puts it right there on the cover.
He really doesn't pull any punches. His whole mission here is to expose the system where, you know, profits have just completely taken over biology. He's pushing for a total shift away from kibble and back to what he calls raw meaty bones.
Okay, let's unpack that, because I think for most people, kibble just is what dogs eat. It's normal.
Yeah.
But Lonsdale starts with a really simple biological argument.
He does. It's something he calls the laugh test.
The laugh test.
Yeah, it's his way of just cutting through all the jargon. He says, look at your dog or your cat. Genetically, what are they?
Well, they're carnivores. They've got the teeth for it.
Exactly. They're basically little wolves. Now imagine a scientist tells you that this wolf needs to eat a diet of sterile grain-based pellets from a factory.
Right.
And that the very thing they evolved to eat raw meat and bones is actually dangerous for them. Lonsdale says you should just be able to laugh at that. It fails the laugh test.
It's like telling someone a shark should eat salad.
Or that a human can live their entire life on, like fortified crackers. He compares it to putting two-stroke fuel in a Rolls Royce. The engine might turn over for a while, but you're going to destroy it.
And that engine trouble, it's not just a little indigestion. The health problems he lists are terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, he calls periodontal disease the foul mouth AIDS of pets.
That's a very deliberate phrase he uses. He's trying to highlight how it suppresses the immune system. The source material describes this cascade effect. It starts with the soft, starchy junk food sticking to the teeth.
Because, yeah, they're not brushing them.
Right. And their saliva doesn't have the enzymes to break down starches like ours does. So that gunk just sits there, becomes plaque, then tartar, then full-blown gum disease.
But it doesn't just stay in the mouth, does it?
No, and that's his key point. The gums are full of blood vessels, so all that bacteria just gets mainlined into the bloodstream.
And it goes where?
Everywhere. The liver, the kidneys, the heart. He argues that what we call old age in pets, you know, kidney failure, heart murmurs, is often just the end game of this slow, chronic poisoning from their own mouths.
So that dog breath we all joke about is actually the smell of a serious infection that's killing them from the inside out.
According to Lonsdale, yes, dog breath is a sign of disease, not a normal trait.
And he even links it to behavior, which I found fascinating.
He does. He suggests that a lot of hyperactivity or aggression comes from diet-induced pain. I mean, imagine you have a constant throbbing toothache you can't tell anyone about.
You'd probably be pretty irritable.
Exactly. You combine that pain with a toxic overload from the food, and you get what people call a bad dog.
So if kibble is the problem, the solution seems simple. But this is where I got a little confused. I see those raw diets in the pet store freezer. Is that what he means? The ground up stuff?
No, and that is a really crucial point he makes. He's actually very critical of those. He calls them BARF diets.
The BARF. What a great name.
It stands for biologically appropriate raw food, but he says the acronym is fitting. He thinks they're just another kind of processed food.
Wait, really? Even the raw stuff?
For him, yes.
Oh.
Because they miss the most important part, the mechanism. His solution is raw meaty bones, RMB. We're talking whole chicken wings, lamb necks, things that require actual work.
Ah, so it's the physical act of chewing.
Yeah.
The toothbrush effect.
Precisely. The ripping and tearing and crunching bone is what scrubs the teeth and massages the gums. It's both food and medicine. If you just feed soft ground food, you lose that cleaning function.
That makes perfect sense. So here's the big question. If it's this obvious, why aren't all vets recommending this? Why is my vet selling me the bag of grain?
And that gets to the heart of spin doctors. Lonsdale lays out what he calls an alliance. You've got the corporate giants like Mars, and then you have the white-collar sector, the vet associations, and the universities.
And they're all in it together.
The book points to deep financial ties. Universities get huge grants for nutrition departments from these companies. Vet associations get sponsorships. It creates what he calls an organized system of censorship.
And he has actual examples of this, right? It's not just a theory.
Oh, yeah. He documents specific incidents. Back in 2001, when he was launching his first book, he had major stories lined up with two of the biggest newspapers in Australia.
Okay.
They'd done the interviews, taken the photos, everything was ready to print. At the very last second, both stories were killed, just pulled.
Wow. Any reason given?
The implication was pressure from advertisers. These are huge companies. Then there was a TV segment on a show called A Current Affair. The industry flat out refused to show up. They just sent faxes saying there was no scientific basis for his claims.
No scientific basis.
Yeah.
That's the go-to line, isn't it?
It's their shield. But there was this one moment on TV where a representative from the Australian Veterinary Association kind of slipped up. He was asked why kibble looks like meat and three veg.
Yeah, with the different colored bits.
And the guy admitted on air it involves marketing trickery.
He actually said that, marketing trickery.
He did. He admitted it's designed to appeal to the human buying it, not the animal eating it. But then he still defended the product. It was a real mask-off moment.
It's incredible. It's like they know it's a game. But let's go back to the science for a minute, because they say no science. But Lonsdale brings up some fascinating studies. That one with the beagles, it really got me.
The beagle study, yes. From a 2004 newsletter. It's a fantastic piece of research by a Dr. Larry Myers.
So walk us through what happened.
Dr. Myers was working with beagles trained for scent detection, and he started noticing that as the dogs got older and developed tartar on their teeth, their ability to smell plummeted.
Their teeth affected their nose.
Drastically. The inflammation from the gum disease was essentially overwhelming their sense of smell. But here's the kicker.
Okay.
They put the dogs under, cleaned their teeth, and their sense of smell returned to 100% normal. Instantly.
That is just... it's unbelievable. So the gum disease was making them blind in a sensory way.
Yes. And Lonsdale connects this to what he calls his cybernetic hypothesis of periodontal disease.
That sounds pretty complicated.
It's actually a simple feedback loop. A carnivore in the wild needs its sense of smell to hunt. If bad teeth ruin your sense of smell, you can't hunt. You starve. You're an evolutionary dead end.
So nature weeds out the animals with bad teeth.
Exactly. But we keep them alive in our homes, feeding them the soft food that causes the problem in the first place, so they just live in this constant state of inflammation and sensory decline.
And that inflammation, the book connects it to a Time magazine cover story, right?
It does. Human medicine now accepts that chronic inflammation is the driver behind things like heart disease and cancer. Lonsdale's just saying, hey, look over here. Gum disease is a massive, constant source of that same inflammation in our pets.
So we have the biology, we have the cover-up. But how does the indoctrination work?
Mm.
I mean, vets are smart. They love animals. How do they not see this?
And that takes us right into the education system. The book has this letter from a first-year vet student that is just, it's a chilling look inside the classroom.
This is the nutrients, not ingredients part, isn't it?
That's it. The professor's mantra was, pets need nutrients, not ingredients.
What does that even mean?
It means the source of the chemical compounds doesn't matter, and the professor literally used the example that you could make a complete and balanced pet food out of old leather boots, used motor oil, and peanut hulls.
He was not serious. Leather boots.
100% serious. As long as the chemical analysis on paper matches the required nutrient profile, it's considered food.
That is just. That fails the laugh test so hard. I wouldn't eat a leather boot no matter what vitamins you sprayed on it.
Of course not. But this student describes being taught to just trust the bag's claim, complete and balanced, and to dismiss raw feeding as a dangerous fad promoted by quacks.
They're being trained to be sales reps, not doctors.
And the regulators, who are supposed to be the watchdogs, Lonsdale talks about his experience with the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, the RCVS, in the UK.
They're the top authority.
They are. He tried to get elected to their council to force an investigation from the inside into this mass poisoning.
And how'd that go for him?
Well, he says the RCVS president told him a hamster would get as many votes as he would.
Ouch.
It just shows the institutional blockade. They refused to investigate. Their official position was to rely on the Pet Food Manufacturers Association for scientific guidance.
Wait, the regulators asked the industry if the industry is doing a good job?
It's completely circular. The fox is not only guarding the hen house, he's writing the security policy.
So Lonsdale then took it to the politicians, right?
He did. Around 2005, this moves into the political arena. A motion was put before the UK Parliament, early day motion number 335.
What did it say?
It was pretty direct. A group of MPs signed on, regretting that the veterinary profession was endorsing these processed foods, and called for an investigation into the link between diet and disease.
That's huge. Actual politicians acknowledging a problem.
It was a big step. But at the same time, the industry was pushing back with this very clever idea called One Medicine.
One Medicine. Sounds good.
It sounds collaborative, yeah. The idea of vets and human doctors working together. But Lonsdale saw it as a Trojan horse. He points to articles being pushed in the British Medical Journal suggesting doctors should advise their patients on pet care.
Why is that a bad thing?
Because if your vet, who profits from selling the food, tells you to buy it, you might be a little skeptical. But if your trusted family doctor says, oh yeah, that kibble's the safe scientific choice, who are you going to believe?
You're going to believe your doctor. It's borrowing their credibility.
Precisely. It's the same playbook Big Tobacco used with doctors back in the 50s. And while all this is going on, the bureaucracy is making things even worse. We have to mention the EU bone ban.
Oh, this was just peak absurdity.
It really was. The EU, in its wisdom, classified raw bones from a butcher shop as animal waste instead of food.
So butchers could be fined for giving them to dog owners.
Exactly. So the one thing Lonsdale says is actual food was legally defined as garbage, while the industrial slurry of leather boots and peanut holes was legally defined as complete and balanced. You can see his frustration. The whole world is upside down.
It is completely upside down. So, okay, we've got the fraud, the science, the cover-up. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are looking at that expensive bag of kibble in their kitchen and feeling kind of sick.
It's a heavy thing to realize.
So what's the big takeaway from all this?
I think the main lesson from Lonsdale's decade of work is that we have outsourced our common sense to compromised experts. We've let marketing completely replace biology.
The laugh test.
It all comes back to the laugh test. You look at your dog, it's a carnivore, someone tells you it needs to eat dry cereal for its entire life and that a raw bone is dangerous. Does that sound right to you? He's challenging us to trust our own eyes over the words on a bag.
And the stories in the book about sick animals getting better are pretty hard to just dismiss.
They are. And that brings us to, I guess, a final provocative thought to leave you with.
Okay, let's have it.
Lonsdale poses a question that goes way beyond pets. He asks, if these carnivores, our dogs and cats, can be cured of these awful chronic diseases just by getting them off processed food and back to a raw, natural diet, what on earth does that tell us about ourselves?
Oh, wow.
I mean, are we missing a huge piece of the puzzle in human medicine? If the core mechanism of disease is the same, inflammation, toxicity, are we just ignoring the raw reality of our own health? If the solution for them is that simple, could some of the answers for us be hiding in plain sight, too?
That is definitely something to chew on. Maybe we all need to start applying the laugh test to our own grocery carts.
We are mammals, after all.
Well, that is all for this deep dive into spin doctors. I don't think I will ever look at a bag of pet food the same way again. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep asking questions.